Excellent. Welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Pete B., a compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania.
Thanks, Cameron. Appreciate that. Catherine, I apologize. Sorry about that. Yeah, thanks so much. Good evening, everybody. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. I live in Pennsylvania. It's really great to be here. It really, like, it's Sunday night with so many new people, like brand new people. Like, I had a whole thought about what I wanted to share, like, because I was kind of asked, like recent, and then I just want to go in a whole different direction because, I go to a lot of meetings, and it's not very often where people are brand new. And people have been around the fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous for like decades and haven't gotten it, and it's just so it's such a tricky condition. And when you're just starting out, like, I was baffled for so long from the disease of compulsive overeating, and I was baffled about the program of recovery because the information, it almost gets like people talk like you're supposed to know what everything means. Like, I didn't know what abstinent meant. I didn't know what plan of eating, I didn't know what anything meant, man. I didn't know what anything meant when I first came to Overeaters Anonymous. I came to OA from AA, but so I just want to level the playing field, right? So I am Overeaters Anonymous has lots of people with different eating, with different disordered eating, right? So some people have different conditions than I have. What I have is this. I'm a compulsive overeater. The word compulsive means that I have an irresistible urge, especially one that is against my own conscious wishes. And in spite of all of my intentions, any desires I have, my philosophies, my intellect, all of the resources, the coaches I hire, I turn to food. Because I believe it will do something for me that it really has never been able to do. You know what I mean? And I believe that food won't do something to me that my experience has proven it has always done. And that is that it causes, not all foods, but certain foods cause an abnormal reaction in me. They cause me to have to eat more of those foods. In the literature that fellowship follows, that's identified as a phenomena of craving. That means that as a compulsive overeater, I react differently than how other people react when I ingest certain foods. And when I first came into recovery, I thought that was all foods. I thought, you know what? If I could eat it, it's a problem. What I've come to understand about my condition is that that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes I eat too much. Sometimes I eat too much. Sometimes I eat too little. But if I didn't eat certain substances, certain foods, and certain ingredients that caused the phenomenon of craving, I was okay. But there were certain things that I would eat. And once I started eating them, I became completely powerless over when I was going to stop eating them, how much I was going to eat, what it was going to lead me to. And it was a and it was a really paralyzing and horrible condition, right? I say I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. Like I've had a spiritual awakening as a result of working the steps and recovery in entire abstinence. I remain entirely abstinent, which means I don't eat certain foods, certain ingredients, and I engage in certain behaviors. I remain entirely abstinent under any and all conditions in any situation and any circumstance. The foods that I can't eat, I never eat. Just like alcoholics never drink alcohol, right? When alcoholics are trying to get recovered, they don't weigh and measure alcohol. They don't, you know, they don't have different kinds of alcohol. I don't eat those substances in any quantities, no matter what, whether I'm happy, sad, joyous, free, whatever. I don't eat those substances. And that's what we mean by abstinent. Come to the conclusion because of my experience and my observation from other people that I was actually insane. I kept on doing the same thing with food and expecting a different result. And that by definition is insanity. I also found out that I had illusions. I had illusions that I was like other people. I had delusions, right? In spite of all the evidence, I chose to believe what I wanted to believe. I was delusional thinking that somehow, some way, I was going to be able to control and manage these foods. And my experience, like I said, my experience was I was never able to. And I will never, and I never will be able to, right? So my insanity that I had coming in here, insanity that I had when I was eating, that has been restored. And that's been restored by having a spiritual experience as a result of working the steps that, if you're new or just coming back or haven't heard that before, is available to anyone. It's available to anyone. You know, I've established, I have a real relationship with the God of my understanding, and I've aligned my will with hers, and I have real freedom today. Like, I do whatever I want to do. I go wherever I want to go. I'm not destined to be locked up in OA rooms forever. Like, I do whatever I want to do. I just don't eat certain foods and engage in certain substances and engage in certain behaviors under any and all conditions. I take proper precautions to protect myself from ever getting into a situation where I think I have to eat those foods. And sometimes those precautions are, I just don't eat. That happens if I'm not prepared. But guess what? Here's a secret. I'm never not prepared because I love this fucking thing. I love being recovered. I love being recovered. I love being able to take my shirt off anytime I want to take my shirt off and not be afraid that somebody's going to say, you need to wear a bra. You know what I mean? I'm a man. You know what I mean? I walk with pride and dignity. And I love being recovered. In all accounts in my life, all accounts, it feels as though the problem just doesn't exist for me. And that's what our literature tells us would happen, what will happen. I owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to real recovered members of both AA and OA for helping me understand the seriousness and the significance of this condition. Because for a lot of years, I treated compulsive overeating like it was like this, like the little sister to alcoholism. It's not really that big a deal. Most of the population is overweight. I don't even look bad compared to them. I could win like a hot body contest at Walmart, right? You know, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what other people are. I was demoralized by the way I ate, right? I was demoralized. I did things that I'm ashamed of to get more food. So I owe a tremendous debt of gratitude for people that are recovered from this condition that helped me understand the condition, how serious it is, and also helped me understand the solution. And the solution is put the food down entirely, no matter what, under any and all conditions. It has to be down. And then I had a spiritual experience as a result of working the steps. I don't know if I'll get there today, but I'm going to get to as much as I can. Just so everybody's clear, I've been abstinent since May of 2017. I've been recovered from this disease since August of 2017. I've lost 65 pounds since becoming abstinent in 2017. I'm down about 86 pounds from my last known top weight. It took me 12 years to get abstinent, to get 1 year abstinent. It took me 12 years. And you know, I know the meeting's called Relapse and Recovery. Like in those 12 years, I wasn't relapsing. I never got recovered. I never got abstinent. I got abstinent-ish, right? I got kind of abstinent. I got abstinent for days at a time. By according to alcoholic standards, the food was technically out of my system. Like the last thing I ate was gone, but I had lingering cues of substance that I eat that lingered in my system for long periods of time, and I was responding abnormally to those for months. And so, like I said, in 12 years, while I was going to OA and counting what ingredient sugar was or measuring my alcoholic foods, thinking it's okay to eat them, or overeating, thinking my meal plan was my abstinence and my abstinence was my meal plan, which it's not. They're two different things. And I just lived, 30 days abstinent, 20 days eating, 20 days abstinent, 10 days eating. And it was a horrible 12 years, and my problem was that I just never understood the significance and the severity of the condition that I had, and it took incomprehensible demoralization caused by food to help me understand what I had. And I've been to all of the, if you're new and you haven't been around, there's so many different varieties of OA, it'll make your head spin. You got gray sheets and white sheets and 90 day how, and it's like, I don't even know if I'm coming or going half the time. So like I said, I know what I am. I don't know what you are. I know what I am, and I know what works for me. And what works for me is following this process in entire abstinence as it's outlined in our literature. Okay. I'm not a guru. I don't claim to be any kind of authority. I'm not an expert in anything. I'm not a scholar, a historian. I'm not anything. I'm a garden variety compulsive overeater. That's it. It's all I am. So I'm not trying to make anybody, think differently about how they do it, or, I'm not trying to make anybody wanting to do it the way I do it. I do it the way I understand our literature says to do it. Process of recovery. The only thing I think you can get wrong is to not do it, right? So that's it. Whatever it is, right? I know it works for me, and I know what our literature says about the condition and about the process. I know what the big book says, and I know what the 12 and 12 says. And if there's anybody here who's been around, and if you hear me say something that's inconsistent with that literature says, I'll put my contact information up there. You don't even have to wait for me to stop speaking. Just let me know. Just let me know. And if it's inconsistent, I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn as much as I'm here to share. I want to know, if I'm doing it wrong, because it just seems to be working. I want to contribute and be of service and all that other stuff. So I'm a little harsh at times. I'm free to curse at while. I'm not trying to be offensive or challenging or threatening to anybody, but I am who I am. My intentions are just to be helpful, because I take it super, super serious. I've been in OA and in recovery for a long time. And I get frustrated. I got to be honest with you. I get frustrated. It should be no surprise to anybody that the success rate in Overeaters Anonymous is so ridiculously low, we don't even keep track of it. It's told that people have a better chance of recovering from cancer than they do of recovering from compulsive overeating. And that should be sobering if you've been around for a while. You know what I mean? Like, you know, as members, we ought to think about that. Like what we're doing effective? Like, I mean, if less than 1% of the people that come here are actually getting recovered, like, is the message that we're carrying actually being effective? No. Like, is it the intention to, you know, to be connected at the hip to a sponsor for 50 years? To not have to, you know, to not be able to process my thoughts or emotions without having to talk to somebody else? Does that, I mean, no, I don't know. I don't, I, all I know is this, that the big book tells me that as God's people, I stand on my feet, right? And I bow to no other, and you know, I don't bow to anybody. And I believe that there's an intention from my creator that wants me to be independent. And I am independent, but I also rely on others. I rely on others, you know, for the way that I'm supposed to rely on others, because I need fellowship. But like I said, I mean, you know, if less than 1% of people are getting recovered, when do we ask ourselves, hey, how's our way working? Is it working? Is it consistent with the way that the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous practices what they do? I don't know. I don't know. You know, all I know is this. Look, man, I hated being fat. I knew that it was food and eating food that was making me fat, and I hated it. And I hated myself. I hated myself because I couldn't get myself to follow any kind of diet or meal plan that I knew would give me what I really so desperately wanted. Like, I wanted to be healthy and fit and energetic and free of the compulsion to overeat. Like, food just dictated who I hung out with. It dictated where I went, where I didn't go. And it got to the point where I was sitting, like, all I did was work, go to the convenience store, sit in my office while my family sat in the other room, and ingested these substances that just caused me to eat more of the substances. You know, it, like I said, it was just, it wasn't a way, I wasn't created to be that way. I hated that using food, I used food to address problems that I was having because of food. You understand what I mean? Like, I was depressed because I was fat and I was eating food to get over the depression. Like, I would weigh myself and see I gained 15 pounds, and I'd go to the ice cream store to get ice cream because I didn't like the way that my pants fit. It was total insanity. I had an intellectual understanding. Like, I came to OA from Alcoholics Anonymous. I was when I got here, when I first got here, I was probably like 5 or 6 years sober. But when I got abstinent, I was 20 years sober. So I had an intellectual understanding of what the steps were and having a relationship with God and all that other, like, I understood what that was. And I say this to people all the time. Like, my credits transferred to OA. Like, I had a relationship with God. I worked the steps. I did all. What I never had was entire abstinence. And I cannot, if you take anything from what I say today, I cannot overemphasize the absolute critical importance of entire abstinence, of knowing, not somebody else knowing, not your sponsor knowing, not the nutritionist knowing, you knowing what it is specifically that causes you to lose control over the amount that you're going to eat. What is the foods, what they are, identify those. And make a decision that under any and all conditions, no matter what happens, those substances can't cross your lips. Right? I know this. I have said it earlier. I have an abnormal reaction to certain foods, certain ingredients, and behaviors. The only thing that causes the abnormal reaction is ingesting those substances. That's the only thing. Now, Loneliness caused me to think I have the phenomenon of craving? Does being, does feeling less than cause me to think I get the phenomenon of craving? Does being less than cause me to think I'm hungry? Does being uncomfortable with my emotions, will they cause me to say, wow, that'll feel better with a devil dog or Twinkie or something like that? Yes. And that's not because I'm a compulsive overeater. That's because I'm a human being. And I'm designed to move towards things that provide ease and comfort, right? We're not designed to be in pain. We're not designed to want to be in pain, right? So as a human being, I'm going to naturally go to something that produces ease and comfort. And I get ease and comfort out of anything I put in my body. Broccoli, beef, it doesn't, I get ease and comfort. You know why? Because also as a human being, I get hungry. I have natural biological processes that consume the substance I put in my body. It gets processed and then it's gone, and I need to put more in me. That's what human beings do. Right? See, I have to recognize the truth. We have to learn. I had to learn to distinguish the true from the false. Well, yeah, I ate over my emotions, but my emotions never gave me the phenomena of craving. The substance gave me the phenomena of craving. The substance caused me to eat more of those foods. So, like, I can't overemphasize to anybody who's just getting started, figure that out. Figure it out. What is it that you can't eat? Here's what I tell people that I'm really fortunate enough to work with. If you can't figure it out what you can't eat, identify five things that you know you can. Identify five things that you know you can. Make sure like two of them are proteins and two of them are vegetables and one of them's a fat. And then eat that if need be, forever. You know what I mean? Like, because it's just food and it's just here to nourish me. It's not an amusement park. You know what I mean? It's not there for entertainment. It's not there for it's there for nourishment, right? And so if you have to, then you just eat those five things. Because here's the thing. If an alcoholic stops drinking on Monday, by Thursday, their body has stopped reacting to the phenomenon of craving. The alcohol is out of their system. As a compulsive overeater, I eat things that have been created by the most brilliant people in the world. Like, the biggest companies in our society are food, drugs. Those are the biggest companies, right? And they go to the best institutions and they find people to create food that is designed to eat more food, right? And that shit doesn't leave your body in 2 days. That's what I was always so concerned with. Like, how come I've been doing this for 30 days and I still want to eat like I just put the food down a day ago? And the reason is because these substances, particularly me with, 60, 70 extra pounds on me, those molecules were laying dormant in my fat cells for so long. This may be bad news. I hate to break bad news to you, but it took 100 days for me, 100 days of only eating foods that I knew wouldn't cause the phenomena of craving, for me to stop having the phenomena of craving. I had an intense desire to eat every single day, doing the steps, praying to God, asking for the obsession to remove. And the reason why, like, I'm not an authority, I'm just sharing you from my experience. The reason why is because these things were sitting in my system. And it takes a long time, sugars and artificial sugars and all those things. It took a long time for that stuff to go away. But it went away. It went away. And it should for everybody else. If we're not in consuming any of those substances in any quantity whatsoever. Right. So I guess I beat that horse to death with regard to entire abstinence, but it really, really, I mean, to me, you can take everything else that you'll hear, making phone calls, going to meetings, writing book reports at the end of the day, reporting your food to somebody. You can do that till the cows come home, because I did all of it. I did all of it. Ingesting the substance like I was that causes the phenomena of craving, I'm fighting. That's fighting, right? And we talk about in these rooms, we talk about surrender. And surrender means the fight's over, right? That's what surrender means. The fight's over. And guess what? We lost. We didn't win. That's the truth. Food's still doing its thing. It's going to keep doing its thing. There are people that aren't like me, right? Our book tells me the delusion that we are like other people has got to be smashed. I'm not like other people. I'm never going to be like other people, and I don't want to be like other people. I'm Pete. That's it. I'm me, and that's fine, because I serve a power greater than myself, the Most High God, who has done for me what I was never able to do for myself. See, when I was fighting, because it does take grit, determination, and toughness to put the food down when you're getting the phenomenal craving, even as that stuff's working its way out of the system. It's hard. It's hard, man. You got to use everything you have, everything you have. And when I got to a point when I felt like I couldn't do it, when I got to a point when I would call somebody and say, man, I really want to eat. It's 2 hours till lunch. I really want to eat. And I talked to somebody for 45 minutes and I hang up the phone and I still really wanted to eat and make another call. Hey, I'd call till people were tired of talking to me. And I still wanted to eat. I still wanted to eat. And I did something that I learned, which is the solution. I turned to a power greater than myself and I asked a God of my understanding to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And the obsession was removed, and I made it through a day. And then I got 2 days, and then I got three, and then I got five, and then I got seven. And then eventually it led to 100. And then all of a sudden, in working the steps, an entire abstinence, doing all the things that the steps tell me to do, not somebody told me what the steps told me to do. All of a sudden, after 100 days, I'm sitting at a restaurant. I was traveling and I had my plan for the day was to eat at this restaurant. And I'd take my scale with me because I was eating three weighed and measured meals a day back then. And I ordered the food that I wanted to order in this restaurant, which didn't have any of the substances in it. It was a restaurant in New York. They have like plates that look like manhole covers. Comes the I ordered the food and it comes out and I asked for an extra plate. And I take the food and I carve out the amount that I'm supposed to eat, and I weigh my protein and I weigh my vegetables, and I had some I always have fat with my meal, and I had some olive oil, and I took what
Excuse me,
was
that's
mine. I
Annette's.
got you. Thank you. I took my portion and I handed the plate back to the waitress and I said, you can take this away, I'm not going to be eating. And I just ate. And I just ate. I didn't think about the food that I didn't get to eat. I didn't think about whether I should take it home and eat it for another meal. I was free. I was free. And that was August of 2017. And that was when I realized I had recovered from the seemingly hopeless condition. I was no longer, like, food was no longer dictating to me like happiness or joy. It was just what it was supposed to be. I live in Pennsylvania, and I was traveling at the time in New York. I'm never more than, 30 seconds from someplace to get more of it. I don't know why I obsess over it, like I'm never going to find it again. And I'm free. I'm free. And I say this all the time. I walk a free man. I do what I want, when I want. Every challenge that I have in my life, none of them are insurmountable. I'm going through a lot of difficult transitions in my life right now. I just retired from my job. I'm having some disruption in my marriage, and my kids don't need me anymore. They're teenagers now. They got it all figured out. And I take it in stride. You know what I mean? I get up every day I ask God to for the power. I ask God for what I need, the power, strength, courage, and conviction to not seek a drink or a drug and to not compulsively overeat. I spend 20 minutes in quiet meditation, listening for the guidance and direction that I desperately need on what I should do for the rest of the day. As soon as I'm finished with that, I make a plan for the day. I identify what I'm going to eat, when I'm going to eat it, how much I'm going to eat, where it's going to come from, and who I'm going to eat it with every single day. And then I go about my business, taking care of things, trying to be the best example of my God's love, my God's will, and my God's way of life in everything that I do. And as a result, no matter what's going on, as long as I don't ingest those substances, I know I won't get the phenomenal craving, and everything eventually is going to be okay. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Pete.